الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Method of purifying clothes with an account of impurities. Excellence of Salat ala Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind. The most generous and kind sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, the one who recited salat upon me 100 times, Allah azza wa jalla writes between his both eyes that he is free from hypocrisy and hellfire, and he azza wa jalla will keep him along with the martyrs on the day of resurrection. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Types of impurity. There are two types of impurity. Number one, Najasat-e-Ghaliza, intense impurity. Number two, Najasat-e-Khafifa, light impurity. Najasat-e-Ghaliza, intense impurity. Number one, anything that excretes from the human body, causing ghusl or wuzu to become wajib, is Najasat-e-Ghaliza. For example, stool, urine, running blood, pus, a mouthful of vomit, menstrual or postnatal bleeding, semen, mazi, wadi. Number two, the blood that has not flowed out of the wound is pure. Number three, water coming out of an aching eye is Najasat-e-Ghaliza. Similarly, water coming out of the navel or the teeth due to pain is also Najasat-e-Ghaliza. Number four, the running blood of every land animal as well as the meat and fat of the carrion are Najasat-e-Ghaliza. Carrion is an animal that has circulating blood and has died without Sharia compliant slaughter. Moreover, an animal slaughtered by a fire worshipper, an idol worshipper, or a religious apostate is also carrion, even if such a person has slaughtered a halal animal like a goat, etc., by reciting Bismillahi Allahu Akbar. The meat and the skin of this animal has become impure. However, if a Muslim has slaughtered even a haram animal according to the Shari method, its meat is pure, but eating this meat is haram. This ruling does not apply to the pig, which is najas ul-ain, i.e. which can never be purified in any way. Number 5. Feces and urine of haram quadrupeds like the dog, the lion, the vixen, the cat, the rat, the donkey, the mule, the elephant and the pig, and the dung of the horse, and number 6, feces of every halal quadruped like the cow, the buffalo, the goat, the camel, number 7, droppings of a bird which cannot fly high like the hen and the duck, whether the bird is big or small, number 8, every type of wine, an intoxicating toddy, number 9, the feces and the urine of the snake, number 10, the meat of those wild snakes and frogs which have circulating blood even if they are slaughtered, similarly their skin even if it is tanned, number 11, the meat, bones and hair of a pig even if it is slaughtered, all these are Najasat-e-Ghaliza. Number 12, the blood of the lizard and the chameleon is Najasat-e-Ghaliza. Number 13, the secretion of an elephant's trunk and the saliva of the lion, the dog, the leopard and other quadrupeds, beasts are Najasat-e-Ghaliza. Urine of suckling infants is impure. There is a common misconception that the urine of suckling infants is not impure because they do not eat any food. This is quite wrong. The urine and stool of even suckling infants is najasat-e-ghaliza. Similarly, if a suckling infant vomited the milk which is mouthful, it is also najasat-e-ghaliza. Ruling on najasat-e-ghaliza. The ruling on najasat-e-ghaliza is that if it soils the body or a piece of cloth in the quantity that exceeds a dirham, it is farz to purify it. If offered without purifying it, the salah will not be valid. To offer salah knowingly in this state is a grave sin. Moreover, if salah is offered in this state, considering the salah unimportant, then it is kufr, unbelief. If najasat-e-ghaliza has soiled the body or a piece of cloth equal to the quantity of dirham, then it is wajib to purify it. If offered without purifying the body or the cloth, the salah will be makruh-e-tahrimi, and it will be wajib in this case to repeat such salah after purifying the cloth or the body. Offering salah deliberately without purifying is a sin. If najasat-e-ghaliza has soiled the body or a piece of cloth less than the quantity of dirham, it is sunnah to purify it. If offered without purifying it, the salah will be valid but contrary to sunnah. It is better to repeat such a salah. Explanation of quantity of dirham. Here is an explanation of what is meant by najasat-e-ghaliza being more, less or equal to the quantity of dirham. In case najasat-e-ghaliza is thick like stool, dung, etc., 1 dirham refers to the mass equal to 4.50 masha, i.e. 4.374 grams in weight. Therefore, thick najasat-e-ghaliza being more or less than 1 dirham implies that it is more or less than 4.50 masha in weight. If najasat-e-ghaliza is thin like urine, etc., 1 dirham refers to particular dimension which can be ascertained in the following way. Keep the palm flat and spread it widely, then pour water onto it slowly till no more water could stay within it. Now the dimension of the spread of this water refers to a dirham. If najasat-e-ghaliza has soiled different parts of the body or the cloth, and no part is soiled with it equal to 1 dirham, but it is collectively equal to 1 dirham, i.e. the total amount of impurity from all parts is equal to 1 dirham, then it will be considered as equal to 1 dirham. And if it is more than 1 dirham, then it will be considered as more than 1 dirham. In case of najasat-e-khafifa also, the same ruling will apply on the basis of the total amount. Najasat-e-khafifa, light impurity. Najasat-e-khafifa includes the urine of the animals whose meat is halal, e.g. the cow, the ox, the buffalo, the goat, the camel, etc., and the urine of the horse. The droppings of the birds whose meat is haram, whether they are predator or not, e.g. the crow, the kite, the falcon, the hawk, etc. Ruling on najasat-e-khafifa. The ruling on najasat-e-khafifa is that if it has soiled a part of the body or clothing in the quantity that is less than 1/4 of that part, then it is excused. For example, if a sleeve or a hand is soiled with it in the quantity that is less than 1/4 of the sleeve or the hand respectively, then it is excused, which means the salah offered in this state is valid. However, if the entire 1/4 part is soiled with it, then salah will not be valid unless purity is achieved. Ruling on kud. the ruling on Qud of every quadruped is the same as the ruling on its feces. Animals' act of bringing the swallowed fodder back from the stomach to the mouth and chewing it again is called Qud. The cows and the camels usually keep chewing, causing the foamy saliva to drool at their mouth, the foamy saliva, etc., drooling at their camels' mouth due to chewing the Qud is Najasate Ghaliza. Ruling on gallbladder. The ruling on the gallbladder of every animal is the same as on their urine. The gallbladder of haram animals is Najasate Ghaliza, while that of halal animals is Najasate Khafifa. The vomit of animals. The ruling on the vomit of every animal is the same as on its feces, i.e., the animal whose feces is pure, like the sparrow or the pigeon, its vomit is also pure. And the animal whose feces is najasate khafifa, like the hawk or the crow, its vomit is also najasate khafifa. Similarly, the animal whose feces is najasate ghaliza, like the hen or the duck, its vomit is also najasate ghaliza. Vomit here means the food or the water that has returned from the stomach. The animal whose feces is impure, its stomach is the source of impurity. Whatever returns from this stomach will either be impure itself or be mixed with impurity. In either case, it will contain impurity like feces. Khafifa in khafifa and ghaliza in ghaliza. However, this ruling does not apply to the thing that has returned before it reaches the stomach. For example, while drinking water, if a hen chokes and water comes out before it reaches the stomach, so the ruling on the feces of the hen will not apply to this water. لأنه مستحال إلى نجاسة ولا لاقى محلها, i.e. because this water has neither mixed with impurity nor has it touched the source of impurity. Instead, the ruling on this water will be the same as on the leftover thing of the animal, because this water has returned from its mouth. The leftover of an animal may be either najasate ghaliza or najasate khafifa, or doubtful or makruh or pure. The same ruling as on its leftover will also apply to what has returned from the mouth before reaching the stomach of that particular animal. The leftover of a freely wandering hen is makruh, so the water mentioned above will also be makruh. And if this water had returned after reaching the stomach, then it would have been najasate ghaliza. If impurity drops into milk or water, the separately stated rulings on najasate ghaliza and khafifa are applicable only when the impurity has soiled the body or cloth. But if the impurity, whether najasate ghaliza or najasate khafifa, drops into a liquid substance like milk or water, that milk or water will become impure even if the impurity is only a single drop. If najasate khafifa mixes with najasate ghaliza, then all becomes najasate ghaliza. How to purify wall, land, tree, etc. Number 1. If an impure piece of land has dried, causing the traces of impurity, i.e. its color and smell, to disappear, then it is pure no matter the impurity has dried because of wind, sun, or fire. Therefore, salah can be offered on that land but tayammum cannot be made with it. Number two, the tree, the grass, the wall and the brick which is fixed to the ground all get pure after they have dried, provided the traces, i.e. color and smell of the impurity have disappeared. If the brick is not fixed to the ground, then it will not be pure on drying, but rather it will be necessary to wash it. Similarly, if a tree or grass is cut before the impurity has dried, then it is necessary to wash it for purity. Number three, a stone that cannot be separated from the ground will be purified when it dries, provided the traces of impurity no longer exist. Otherwise, it is necessary to wash it. Number four, if anything that is attached to the ground becomes impure and is separated from the ground after it has dried, causing the traces of impurity to disappear, it is still pure. Number five, if a thing has been purified because of being rubbed or dried, gets wet later on, it will not become impure in this case. For example, a piece of land became impure due to urination. Afterwards, it dried and the traces of impurity also disappeared. So this piece of land became pure. Now, if that piece of land becomes wet again with any pure liquid, it will not become impure. Method of cleansing blood-stained land. If a child or an adult has urinated or defecated on the ground, or the blood or the pus flowing out of a wound, or the blood gushing out when the animal is being slaughtered, falls on the ground and is wiped with any cloth, etc., without using water, that piece of land will become pure after it has dried and the traces of impurity have disappeared. Salah can also be offered on it. Piece of land plastered with dung. Salah cannot be offered directly on a dung plastered piece of land, even if it has dried. However, if salah is offered on a thick piece of cloth spread on the dung plastered piece of land that has dried, then salah will be valid. Birds whose droppings are pure. Number one, both the urine and feces of a bat are pure. Number two, the droppings of high-flying halal birds like the sparrow, the pigeon, the mina, and the waterfowl, etc., are pure. Blood of fish is pure. The blood of aquatic animals, including the fish and that of the bug and the mosquito, are pure. Similarly, the saliva and the sweat of the mule and the donkey, small splashes of urine. Number one, if very tiny needle tip-like splashes of urine fall onto the body or the cloth, the body or the cloth both will remain pure. Number two, if a piece of cloth with such small splashes of urine on it falls into water, the water will also not become impure. Remains of blood in meat. The leftover blood in meat, spleen and liver is pure. But if these things are stained with the flowing blood, then they are impure. They will not get pure unless washed. Dried bones of animals. Except swine, all other animals' bones which are not stained with the fat of carrion are pure. Their hair and teeth are also pure. Milk of haram animals. The milk of haram animals is impure. However, the milk of the mare is pure, but it is not permissible to drink it. Droppings of mouse. The droppings of a mouse is impure, but if it gets grinded with wheat or falls into oil, then this flour and oil is pure. However, if the taste is changed, then this flour and oil are impure. If these droppings are found in the bread, remove the portion around the droppings. There is no harm in consuming the rest of the bread. Flies sitting on impurity. Number one, if the flies resting on stool flew up and settled on the cloth will not become impure. Number two, unless it is known that mud on pathways is impure, whether because of rain or any other reason, it will be considered pure. So if the foot or the cloth is stained with it, and salah is offered without washing it, salah will be valid, but it is better to wash the mud-stained foot or cloth. Rulings on rainy water. Number one. The rainwater falling from the roof gutter is pure, even though there is impurity all around on the roof, or at the mouth of the gutter, although the amount of the falling water that has come into contact with impurity is equal to more or less than the half of the impurity, it is pure unless impurity causes a change to any of the properties of the water, i.e. color, odor, or taste. This is the valid and the authentic ruling. And if the rain has stopped, discontinuing the flow of water, then that stagnant water and the water dripping off the roof will be impure. Number two. Similarly, the rainwater running through drains is pure unless the color, odor, or taste of the impurity is evident in it. As for making wuzu with it, if so many particles of the visible impurity are flowing in the water that at least one or more particles of impurity will certainly be present in the water if taken in the cupped hand, then it will become impure as soon as taken in the cupped hand, and performing wuzu with this water is haram. Otherwise, it is permissible, but it is better to refrain from it. Number three, after the rainfall, if odor, taste, or the particles of impurity are present in the stagnant water of the drain, then it is impure, otherwise pure. Stagnant rainwater in streets. The stagnant rainwater in the low-lying streets and roads is pure, even though its color is muddy. Sometimes the sewage water also mixes with it. In this case, the same foregoing ruling will apply, i.e., if there is a change in the color, odor, or taste of the water due to impurity, it will be considered impure, otherwise pure. However, after the rain has stopped, if the water is no longer flowing and covers the area of less than 225 square feet, and a little impurity or its particles are visible in it, it is impure in this case. Similarly, if someone urinates into it, it will become impure. The mud spattering on the back of pajamas from the ground due to walking is pure unless it is certainly known that it contains any impurity. Splashes of water sprinkled on roads. If water is being sprinkled in the street and splashes from the ground come onto the cloth will not become impure but it is better to wash it. Perspiration after purity with clods. If someone performs istinja, i.e. cleanses the excretory organs with clods after he has defecated or urinated, and the perspiration from that organ stains the cloth or the body, that cloth or body will not become impure in this case. If dog touches one's body. If a dog touches one's body or cloth, the body or cloth will remain pure even though the body of the dog is wet. However, if there is something impure on its body, the ruling will be different. Moreover, if the body or the cloth gets stained with its saliva, it will become impure. What if dog puts mouth into flour? If an animal whose saliva is impure, like the dog, the swine, the lion, the leopard, the wolf, the elephant, the jackal, or any other beast, has put its mouth into the flour, and the flour was dough, separate the part where the animal licked. The remaining is pure. And if the flour was dry, throw away the part that became wet. What if dog puts mouth into pot? If a dog puts mouth into a used clay pot that has a smooth surface, or into the one made of china clay or metal or polished mud, it will become pure after being washed thrice. Otherwise, it will get pure after being washed and dried thrice. However, if there is a hair-like slit in a porcelain-made pot or a crack in other utensils, then it will become pure only after it has been washed and dried three times. Mere washing will not purify it. If a dog licks the outer surface of a pitcher, the water in it will not become impure. What if cat puts mouth into water? The leftover of domesticated animals like the cat, the mouse, the snake, the lizard, etc. is makruh. Tragic death of three girls. Milk, water, and other food items should be kept covered. Here is a tragic incident that occurred in Babul Madina, Karachi. A husband and his wife left their three little daughters in care of their neighbors or relatives and went for Hajj. But suddenly, before Hajj, all their three daughters died at a time. The wailing parents returned, weeping and sobbing, to Babul Madina, Karachi, from the holy Makkah, without performing Hajj. After the investigation, it came out that the milk was left uncovered. A lizard fell into it and died. The three little girls drank the same milk, and its poison caused this tragedy. It is said that if a lizard dies into some beverage and bursts, its poison can kill 100 people. Perspiration of animals. The animal whose leftover is impure, its perspiration and saliva are also impure. The animal whose leftover is pure, its perspiration and saliva are also pure. The animal whose leftover is makruh, its perspiration and saliva are also makruh. Donkey's perspiration is pure. If a cloth is stained with the sweat of a donkey or a mule, the cloth is pure, no matter how much the sweat is. Drinking water with bleeding mouth. If one's mouth bleeds so much that his saliva becomes reddish and he drinks water immediately afterwards, then this leftover water is impure. And after the redness vanishes, it is mandatory for him to purify his mouth by rinsing. If he has not rinsed the mouth, but the saliva has passed over the place of impurity few times, whether because of spitting or swallowing the saliva, leaving no signs of impurity, then the mouth is pure in this case. If he drinks water afterwards, it will remain pure, but it is extremely disgusting and a sin to swallow the saliva in such a condition. Secretion of female urinary organ. The secretion released by the urinary organ of women is pure. If it soils the body or the cloth, it is not necessary to wash it. However, it is better to wash. Rotten meat. Although not impure, rotten and foul-smelling meat is haram to be consumed. Blood-containing bottle. If one offers salah with a bottle containing urine or blood or wine in his pocket, etc., his salah will not be valid. If there is an egg in his pocket and its yolk has turned into blood, salah will be valid. Water from mouth of corpse. The water released from the mouth of the corpse is impure. Impure bedding. Number one, if one places his dry feet on an impure and wet piece of land or on impure and wet bedding, wetting his feet, then his feet will also become impure. However, if there is just dampness, i.e. moisture and coolness that cannot wet feet, then they will not get impure. Number two, if someone sleeping in impure clothes or on impure bedding perspires, wetting the impure portion as well as his body, the body will become impure, otherwise not. Wet trousers. If the crotch, i.e. the part of a pair of trousers or pants where the legs join at the top, is wet, and he breaks wind, the cloth will not become impure. Piece of human skin. If human skin, though equal to the size of a nail, falls into limited water that covers less than 225 square feet, that water will become impure. But if a nail falls into water, it will not become impure. Dried dung. Number one, cooking food over the burning dried dung of cow or buffalo is permissible. Number two, if bread absorbs the smoke of the burning dung, it will not become impure. Number three, the ash of the burnt dung is pure, but if the dung extinguishes before turning into ash, then it is impure. Impure water sprinkled on griddle. If impure water sprinkled on a griddle or an oven has evaporated by the heat, the bread baked on it afterwards is pure. How to purify the meat and the skin of haram animal. Except for swine, the meat and skin of every such animal is pure that can be and has been slaughtered with Bismillah recited before the slaughter, whether the animal is halal or haram. That is to say, if someone who is offering salah has such meat with him or offers salah on the skin of such animal, his salah will be valid. However, a haram animal will not become halal for eating by slaughtering. It will still remain haram. Seating on goat skin develops humility. One should not sit or offer salah on the skin of a beast, even if it is tanned, as it creates cruelty and anger in temperament. Sitting on the skin of a goat or ramp or wearing it creates kindness and humility in temperament. The skin of a dog, whether it is tanned or even if the dog is slaughtered, should not be used, as it is advisable to refrain
from the things regarding which the Islamic scholars have divergent opinions or which make people feel disgust. The impurity which is visible is known as mar'iyya, and the impurity that is invisible is called ghair mar'iyya. How to wash cloth soiled with thick impurity. If the impurity is thick, which is called najasate mar'iyya, like stool, dung, blood, etc., then washing the impure thing for certain times is not a condition, but rather removing the impurity is necessary. If it gets removed in the first washing, the impure thing will become pure after being washed only once. And if it is removed after the impure thing has been washed 4 to 5 times, then it must be washed 4 to 5 times. However, if the impurity is removed in less than 3 times, it is mustahab to complete the set of 3. What if the color of impurity remains on the cloth? In case impurity is removed, but some of its effects like color or odor are still there on the cloth, then removing them is also necessary. However, if it is difficult to remove its effect, then it is not necessary. Thus, it will become pure after being washed 3. Washing it with soap, acid, hot water, or with chemical is not necessary. 6. Madni pearls for purifying cloth soiled with light impurity. Number 1. If the impurity is thin, like urine, etc., then the cloth will get pure after being washed 3 and squeezed all 3 times with all strength, i.e. no drop of water should drip from the cloth if squeezed once again. If one does not squeeze it with all his strength for the safety of the cloth, then it will not get pure. Number 2. If the washing person has squeezed it with all his strength, it is pure for him. However, if there is another person who is stronger than the washing person, and it is likely that 1 or 2 more drops of water may drip from the cloth when squeezed by the latter, i.e. the stronger person, it is impure for the latter but pure for the former, i.e. the washing person. The strength of the latter can have no effect on the ruling for the former. However, if the latter were washing and had squeezed the cloth to the same extent as done by the former, it would not be pure for the latter. Number 3. It is better to purify hands after squeezing the cloth for the first and the second time, and after you have squeezed it for the 3rd time, both the cloth and the hands will be considered pure. But if there is so much wetness in the cloth that 1 or more drops may still drip from it when squeezed, then the cloth and hands are impure. Number 4. If one does not purify his hands for the 1st or the 2nd time, and some pure part of the cloth gets wet by the wetness of his hands, this part will also become impure in this case. If it gets wet after the 1st squeezing, then it should be washed 2. And if it gets wet by the wetness of the hand after the 2nd squeezing, then it should be washed 1. Similarly, if a pure piece of cloth gets wet by the cloth washed and squeezed 1, then it should be washed 2. And if it gets wet by the cloth washed and squeezed 2, then it will become pure after being washed only 1. Number 5. If the washing person hangs the cloth and some drops of water drip from it after he had already washed the cloth 3 times and squeezed it with all his strength each time in such a way that no drop of water would drip from it when squeezed again, this dripping water will be considered pure in this case. But if he has not squeezed it with all his strength, then this water will be considered impure. Number 6. It is not necessary to wash the cloth consecutively 3 times. If washed 3 times on different occasions or even on different days, the cloth will still get pure. Squeezing is not a condition when washing cloth under tap. It is stated on page 35 of the first volume of Fatawa Amjadiyya, the ruling of washing and squeezing the cloth thrice will only apply when the cloth is being washed with limited water. If it is washed in a large pool that covers the area of 225 square feet or more, a canal, a river or sea, etc., or a lot of water is flowed from a tap, pipe or water vessel, etc., on the cloth, or it is washed in the running water of a river, etc., then squeezing is not a condition in these cases. Squeezing is not a condition when washing in running water. The Islamic jurists, rahmahumullah ta'ala, have stated, leave thick cloth, sack cloth, or any other impure cloth under the flowing water for the whole night. It will become pure. The actual verdict is that it will be considered pure when there is the strong likelihood that water may have washed the impurity away, because squeezing is not a condition in case of purifying it in the running water. Washing pure and impure clothes together. If even a single piece of impure cloth is put into the water of a washing machine or a bucket with pure clothes, all the clothes will become impure in this case. To do so without Shari exemption is not permissible either. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahle Sunnat Maulana Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Alayhi Rahmatul Rahman has stated on page 792 of the first volume of Fatawa Razaviyya, to make a pure thing unnecessarily impure is impermissible and a sin. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has further stated on page 585 in the fourth volume, without a shari requirement, making the body or clothes impure is haram. It is reported in Bahrul Raiq, rendering a pure thing impure is haram. Therefore, Islamic sisters should wash pure and impure clothes separately. If they have to wash them together, then they should first purify the impure part of the cloth carefully before they wash it along with other dirty clothes in the washing machine. Easy method to purify impure clothes. The following is an easy way of purifying clothes. Put impure clothes in a bucket and turn on the tap above it. Keep the clothes submerged with the help of a hand or a rod, etc., in such a way that no part of any cloth remains out of the surface of water. After so much water has flowed out of the bucket that one can have a strong probability that the water has carried the impurity away, then those clothes and water in the bucket, including the hand or the part of the rod dipped into water, will all be considered pure, provided that there are no traces of impurity on the clothes, etc. When purifying clothes in this way, take the essential precaution that not even a single drop of impure water fall onto your body or anything else unless you have had the strong probability. If the brim or any other part of the inner wall of the bucket or vessel is wet with impure water and the ground is not so smooth and flat that water could flow out of all the sides of the brim, leaving the brims etc. unwashed, then in this case use some mug or take your hand under the running water of a tap and flow water on every part of the bucket in such a way that the brim and the unwashed inner parts get washed and pure. But do this in the beginning so that you may not make your pure clothes impure again. Method of purifying clothes in washing machine. First put the clothes into the washing machine and fill it with water. Keep the clothes submerged into the water with the help of your hands etc. in such a way that no part of the clothes remain out of the water. Keep the tap turned on above the machine. Now pull out the plug, draining away the water. In this way, the water will be coming from the tap and will be flowing out from the drain. When you have the strong probability that the water has carried the impurity away, then the clothes and the water in the machine will become pure, provided there are no traces of impurity on the clothes. If needed, the top edges of the machine should be washed in the beginning by following the method mentioned earlier. Method of purifying clothes under tap. A bucket or a pot is not only the means of purifying clothes in the foregoing way. One can also purify them by holding them under a running tap. For example, a handkerchief has become impure. Put it under the tap and flow water over it till there is a strong probability that water has carried the impurity away. In this way, it will become pure. A big piece of cloth or its impure part can also be purified in the same way, but ensure that the impure water does not splash on your body, clothes or the places around. How to purify an impure carpet. Wash the impure area of the carpet and hang it. Let it remain hanging till the drops of water stop dripping from it. Then wash and hang it for the second time and let it remain hanging until it stops dripping. Then wash and hang it for the third time in the same way. It will become pure when it stops dripping. One can purify mats, leather slippers and clay pots etc. that absorb thin impurities as per the same method. Fragile fabric which may tear in case of being squeezed should also be purified in the same way. Another way of purifying an impure carpet, cloth etc. is to keep it dipped into running water, for example a river, stream or under a tap, for as long as one gets the strong probability that the impurity has been carried away by the water. If a small child urinates on a carpet, just splashing a few drops of water onto it will not purify it. Remember, the urine of even one day's old infant is impure. How to purify the hands colored with impure henna. If a hand or cloth gets stained with impure color or impure henna, wash it so many times that the water falling from the hand is clear, with no particle of impure color or henna in it. In this way, it will become pure even though the color is still there on the hand or the cloth. Washing impure oil-stained cloth. If cloth or body is stained with impure oil, it will become pure after it is washed thrice, even though the oiliness is still present on it. It is not necessary to wash it with soap or hot water, but if it is stained with the fat of carrion, it will not be pure until the oiliness is removed. If a small part of cloth becomes impure, if a part of cloth has become impure, but it is not clear which part it is, then it is better to wash the whole cloth. This ruling will apply when the impure part is not known at all. If it is known, for example, a sleeve becomes impure, but it is not known which part of the sleeve has become impure, then washing the entire sleeve will be considered as washing the whole cloth. If one washes any part of it after he has contemplated, then it will also become pure. If one washes any part without contemplation, then it will become pure even in this case. But if it is discovered after he has offered a few salah that the impure part was not washed, he must wash it again and repeat all those salah, i.e. offer them again. However, if the mistake is noticed in the former case in which contemplation was made, he should wash it now, but repeating those salah is not required. How is it to wash cloth with milk? The cloth washed with milk, soup or oil will not get pure, as impurity will not be removed by these things. Six rulings for purifying clothes stained with semen. Number one, if a semen stained part of cloth has dried, it will become pure after the semen has been rubbed and removed, and the cloth shaken out, even if there is some effect of the semen on the cloth after the rubbing, it will still be considered pure. Number two, in this matter, the same above stated ruling applies whether the semen is of a man or a woman or a human or an animal or a healthy person or a patient of jiryan. Number three, if soiled with semen, a part of the body will also be purified in the same way. Number four, after urination, if a person has not attained ritual purity, neither with water nor with clods, and the semen flows over the spot soiled with urine, then it will not be purified by rubbing. Instead, it must be washed in this case. And if one already has attained ritual purity, or the semen ejaculated and jumped over the impure spot without coming into contact with it, then purity may be attained by rubbing and removing the semen. Number five, the cloth which has been purified by rubbing will not become impure if it gets wet afterwards. Number six, if semen has soiled a cloth and it is still wet, then it can be purified by washing, rubbing the semen before it has dried will not suffice. When is it wajib to inform someone about his impure clothing? If one notices the impurity onto a Muslim's cloth, and there is a strong probability that if he is informed about it, he will purify it, then informing him is wajib. In this case, one will be a sinner if he does not inform. Method of purifying cotton wool. If as much quantity of cotton is impure as is expected to fly away, according to one's strong probability, during the process of carding, then the cotton will get pure when carded. Otherwise, it will not become pure unless washed. However, if it is not known that how much cotton is impure, it will become pure when carded. Method of purifying pots. If the things which cannot absorb impurity have become impure, such as china pots, used clay pots with smooth surface, or things made of steel, copper or brass, etc., then just washing them three times is sufficient for purity. It is not also required to leave them hanging till water stops dripping. Method of purifying knife, etc. If an iron made thing such as a knife, dagger, sword, etc. is not rusty and has no engravings, becomes impure, it will be cleansed when wiped thoroughly. In this case, it does not matter whether the impurity is thick or thin. Similarly, if the things made of silver, gold, brass, gilt, of any other metal, have no engravings, they become pure when wiped. And if they are engraved or rusted, they must be washed. They will not be purified by wiping. Method of purifying mirror. If a mirror and everything made of glass china pots or polished clay pots, or the clay pot glazed with a thin layer of glass or polished wood, in short, every such thing which does not have pores becomes impure, then they will get pure when wiped with a cloth or a leaf to such an extent that the effects of impurity go away altogether. But remember, if there is any crack or some part of it has come off or broken, or the polish has come off from some spot, in short, if there is any sort of roughness, wiping that part will not be enough. Rather, purifying these things by washing is a must. Method of purifying shoes. If socks made of leather or shoes get soiled with thick impurity like stool, dung or semen, they will become pure when rubbed and scraped, even though the impurity is still wet. And if these things are soiled with impure liquid like urine, then put some earth, ash or sand on the impurity and rub them. They will become pure. If one does not do so and the impurity dries, then they will not become pure without being washed. Used sweaters, etc. of the non-Muslims. The used sweaters, socks, carpets and clothes imported from non-Muslim countries are considered pure unless the traces of impurity are visible. Offering salah in these clothes without washing them is permissible. However, it is better to purify them. On page 127 of Bukhari Shariat, volume 2, published by Maktabatul Madina, Sadrul Sharia, Badrul Tariqah, Allama Maulana Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi Ali Rahmatullah Al-Qawi has stated, the used clothes of the transgressors will be considered pure unless it is known that they are impure. But it is advisable for the one who offers salah to purify the crotch of the trousers, etc. Because one who does not offer salah often puts trousers on after passing urine without attaining ritual purity. Great care should be taken in case of wearing the used clothes of the non-Muslims. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. By the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla, sunnahs are abundantly learned and taught in the Madani environment of Dawati Islami, a global and non-political movement for the preaching of Quran and sunnah. It is a Madani request that you spend the whole night in the weekly sunnah-inspired ijtima taking place every Thursday approximately 8 o'clock in your city, for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla with good intentions. With the intention of gaining reward, make it a part of your routine to travel in a sunnah-inspiring Madani qafila with the devotees of Rasul, and to fill out the Madani Inamat booklet every day practicing Fikr-e-Madina, and to submit it to the relevant responsible Islamic brother of your locality within the first 10 days of every Islamic month. Through the blessings of this, you will develop a mindset and a yearning to adopt sunnahs, to have hatred for sins, and to protect your faith, insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla. Every Islamic brother should develop the Madani mindset that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world, insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla. In order to reform ourselves, we must act upon the Madani inamat, and to strive to reform the people of the entire world, we must travel with the Madani qafilas, insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla.